Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
I love music. I'm sure many of you do as well. And it occurred to me the other day that I don't really listen properly to the lyrics of some of my favorite songs. I don't appreciate the poetry of the lyrics. So I thought I'd take the time to do that right now. These are the lyrics to one of my favorites. Who let the dogs out? Last year in the dance, you had a ball. You call me Millibug and Skettle. Get back, Fluffy. Back, Scruffy. Get back, you flea-infested mongrel. If I was a dog, the party is on. I got to get my groove on, 'cause my mind done gone. Can't you see the rays coming from my eyes, walking through the place like Digimon? Breaking it down, me and my white tail, short coat, can't see color. Any color will do. I'll stick on you. That's why they call me Pitbull, 'cause I'm the man of the land. When they see me, they say, ooh. Who let the dogs out? Woof, 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 woof. Who let the dogs out? Woof, 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 woof. Who let the dogs out? Woof, 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 woof. Who let the dogs out?
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom.
From Wondery, this is Life is Short. I'm your host, Justin Long.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom.
And as always, I'm here with my brother, Christian.
Hi, Justin.
Do you get self-conscious about how you greet me there?
Very much so.
Yeah, I thought so.
How did you know?
Well, there you just said hi. And I can also tell when you're self-conscious.
Let's try one more time.
Okay. I'm your host, Justin Long. And as always, I'm here with my brother, Christian.
Oh, hey, what's up?
Whoa, that was a cool one.
Yeah. That was a whole different guy.
Couldn't be bothered. I'll tell you who's not self-conscious. Our guest today, Wolfgang Puck, and that song that I just read the lyrics to, Who Let the Dogs Out, Woof, 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 always reminds me of our guest, Wolfgang Puck, not because of the woof, woof, woof part, but because I just always assume that Wolfgang Puck is a huge Baha Men fan.
I do too. I assume he likes their whole catalog, not just their big hit, you know?
Well, he's into the B-sides too.
The B-sides.
You know that they've been a band since 1977?
I know.
It's crazy.
I've also never heard you sound whiter than when you read those lyrics.
That says a lot.
You were like gleaming white.
You know, you weren't around for this, but this may have rivaled that moment. I met one of the Migos's. Migos?
Miga?
Well, they're the
Amigo.
I met Amigo, one of the Migos, Quavo. He was so cool. I mean, duh. He's Amigos. He's Amigo. Of course he's cool. I can't even say the name of who he is, but he was really cool. I felt pretty white around him.
Not as cool as the Baha Men, though. What is your favorite Baha Men tune?
There's so many to choose. It's hard for me to just pick one.
I like Here Kitty Kitty.
Meow, 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 meow.
Or,
meow, meow, meow.
I also like, Did Someone Leave the Hamster Cage Open?
Another classic is, I forgot the poo bags for my doggy. You know, I think it's kind of sexist that because they've been around so long and they've gone through so many changes, I wonder if they will allow Baha women into their group.
They should.
Yeah. I hope they're listening. But yeah, Wolfgang, that's always been a name that I've had a hard time saying, Wolf.
You still have a hard time
saying
it.
I know.
You're not saying it right.
Well, the animal, the wolf, a wolf.
You can't get that. For some reason, you have a hard time getting the L in
wolf,
there.
A wolf. The Timberwolves.
Wolves. You guys can't see this, but Justin's whole face is contorting.
When I can't say something, I get a little spastic in the face when I have a hard time formulating a sound of a word. You remember what you couldn't say that time? You were...
sugar cookie.
Yeah. Christian was drunk once and he couldn't say the word sugar cookie. Sugar, he was like, sugar cookie.
That is a litmus test for all you listeners. If you're feeling drunk, yeah, that's how you know you're
test.
Drunk. If you can't say sugar cookie,
it's true.
Articulately.
It's the sugar cookie test.
Sugar cookie.
Anyway.
So Wolfgang Puck, I think we should apologize to him for not giving him a more respectful introduction because he is a man who is so deserving of
yes, that's true.
Our respect.
Everyone's respect because everyone likes food.
Everyone knows him, I think. Is he the most famous chef in the world?
He's one of the more ubiquitous.
If not, everyone knows Wolfgang Puck.
Who's more ubiquitous a chef than Wolfgang Puck? Chef Boyardee. I mean, he's not a real chef, though. Chef.
Julia Child. But I think Wolfgang Puck, especially now that he's branded himself the way he has, I think everyone knows him. And
yeah.
And we were so excited to meet him. He's our first non entertainer guest that we've had on the show.
That's right. And we were just excited that he wanted to do it. We couldn't.
Thrilled.
His son Byron, who I have to give a shout out to, Byron knew who I was, and I think kind of confirmed to his dad that he should be doing it. So otherwise, I don't know that we would have gotten him. So thank you so much, Byron.
And he showed up. He was dressed like a chef. I don't know what I expected him to be dressed like,
like
a fireman or something. He was dressed like a chef.
But it is weird that he was dressed like a chef. It was also the middle of the day.
Well, he might have been going right to the restaurant. I didn't want to pry. But I assumed, or maybe he just always dresses like a chef. Always.
He's like chef pajamas.
He's like Batman. He just goes through his closet. It's just all chef outfits.
He has chef workout clothes.
But he had a very puckish energy. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I mentioned that to him. I mean, the word puck is, you know, Midsummer Night's Dream. He seemed like he had a scampy, playful, buoyant energy. Puck. Mm-hmm. He did have a puckish energy.
I shook his hand. And I've had this experience only a couple times where I shake someone's hand and I feel sort of enthralled by what I'm touching because I know that that hand or those hands are capable of such incredible creation. I think shaking a hand of a great musician, you feel like these hands are so special and they can do such amazing things.
That almost divine.
I almost don't want to sully them by gripping it too hard or ruining it somehow.
With your like Luddite kind of like clumsy hands. Puckish means playful, especially in a mischievous way. The synonyms are funny. Mischievous, naughty, impish, elfin, roguish, playful. He's all of those things.
Yeah,
maybe not naughty.
Well,
we don't know.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Maybe he is. Pixie-ish. He was not pixie-ish, but he was pixie-ish for a man. He was very kind. We had a very long and forthcoming, honest conversation with him, which I was so pleasantly surprised by. Hopefully you guys will be too. So we'll be right back after this with Chef Wolfgang.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboo.
For all the shorties that want voluminous, fanned-out lashes, this ad is for you. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume. Their tapered brush catches every single lash, even those pesky corner lashes. You know who you are, corner lashes. With the Panorama Mascara, you'll easily achieve that effortless, false lashes look. It's one of Christian's favorite looks. Plus, it lasts up to 24 hours and is clump and flake resistant. And just when you thought it couldn't get better, it does. The Panorama Mascara is a lot more affordable than other luxe mascaras. And honestly, it probably does a better job. It's affordable, but it's deceptive because it comes in a premium gold luxe packaging. So if you want a mascara that can do it all, volumize, lengthen, and stay put all day, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom, and up we'll meet again.
Have you done these before, Chef?
I did a lot of radio things, but not,
not
podcast is a new
thing. It's a new thing. Yeah, well, it's new for me, too. My mother is a great cook. I grew up, I was very lucky growing up with good food and it's always been something that's very important to me
great.
A pleasure that I've really enjoyed. Did you grow up with your parents?
I grew up with great parents, a great mother. My father was a terrorist, but my mother was an amazing cook.
He was an actual terrorist?
No. He terrorized the family.
Oh, God.
For us, he was a terrorist.
Yes.
Before terrorists were really known. But my mother was amazing and a great cook. She was a professional chef too and worked in a resort hotel in the summertime.
In Austria.
You grew up in Austria. Yeah. And in the wintertime, she was at home. So with very little money, she made very good food. Like we had meat once a week.
Oh, once a week?
Yeah. On Sunday lunch, we had meat. We had Wiener Schnitzel or something like that.
Oh, yeah. And was that your favorite? So that was your favorite meal?
It's still my childhood favorites. And really? I actually put them on a menu at Spago in Beverly Hills when we opened in Beverly Hills 25 years ago.
Was your mother able to be a part of that?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, wow, that's
so
great.
And it became such a huge success. Now I can't take it off the menu.
Oh, yeah, it's been the same. And you moved to the U.S. then when you were 24?
I left Austria when I was 17. I moved to France.
Oh,
stayed 7 years in France, and then I moved to the U.S.
And is that's where you trained then in France?
In France. France and in Austria. I left school when I was 14. 14. I never went to high school. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And then I started the apprenticeship from 14 to 17. And then I moved to France and worked in some of the greatest restaurants like Maxim's in Paris, Hotel de Paris in Monaco, and La Réserve in Beaulieu and Beaumanière and so forth.
So you just had an aptitude for it. You had a gift for it at an early age.
Yeah, I had a passion for it. And I really think when I went to South of France in a restaurant called Beaumanière, the owner there was 70 years old, but he was so passionate about food and hospitality. And I said, I want to be like this guy.
And look at you now.
Yeah.
I wish he could see you now.
I know.
Now, you strike me as somebody whose passion has not abated at all. You strike me as still very passionate about food. Is that safe to say, or do you feel yourself kind of slowing down at all?
You know what? It's so funny because I always was worried because I saw when I was young, old chefs, they went into retirement, and even
they got surly.
Yeah, they don't have nothing to do anymore. And I said, hopefully I don't gonna end up that way. I said, if I retire, I want to find a new passion.
Yes.
And I think, thank God, I liked my old passion the most, so I never changed. And I think we still open new restaurants. You know, we're going to do this hotel down on Sunset here, the Pantry Hotel. We're going to open a restaurant there.
Wow.
We are planning one with Frank Gehry where Gladstone is now on the beach.
Oh, wow. But your first, the big one, the flagship was Spago's. That is still thriving. You moved the restaurant at one point in 97. What was that to be closer to clientele?
No, it didn't have nothing to do. But my lease was up on Sunset almost. And I tried to buy the building and the owners didn't want to sell it. Mm. And I said, I don't gonna put so much money into the building. And then it's not mine. So the Pistro Garden became available in Beverly Hills. And I said, you know, this is a bigger property. It has more room for the kitchen and everything. So I said, you know what? I bought that place and then moved Spago over there. And since 97, it has been a big success. And I have to be very proud of something. Last year was the best year since we had in 37 years.
No, I wonder why. Do you know what to attribute
that? We keep on getting better every year. Yeah. You know, be more efficient maybe, have more customers, because I always look at the customer count. And I said, you know what? It's really an amazing thing.
That's amazing.
After so many years, we do better than ever. Yeah. And in a city where you get new restaurants all the time and old restaurants fall by the wayside.
Yeah,
when you
look,
when
so
I was here, we had Le Dom, we had L'Orangerie, we had Ma Maison, we had Chasen, the Pisto Garden, and Le Saint-Germain, Le Restaurant.
Where are they now?
In the cemetery.
Yeah. a delicious cemetery.
Yeah.
So what do you attribute that to? Is it the desire to keep
on pushing forward? And I think it has to be an evolution.
Yeah.
We can never stand still. You know, we always have to continue to get better and do more, and how can we be the best we can be?
So you obviously still cook there. You're still there.
Yeah, no, for sure. I go all the time.
Wow.
In between Cut, which is at the Beverly Wilshire, and Spago, they are one next to the other. And then I also have the Bel Air Hotel, which we took over 7 years ago.
That's right. So you make the rounds.
Yeah, I make the rounds in between all three of them. As a matter of fact, at the Bel Air Hotel, people always ask me when we took it over and say, Wolfgang, why you don't make the Wiener Schnitzel? Why you don't make the Kaiserschmarrn, another Austrian dish from my mother's recipe? And so I had to put it on the menu there too. And now people go there specially for that. So it's really nice to see too.
Yeah.
And
a nice tribute to your mom.
She lives on in the food people love. So
that's great. But here, when Spago is considered a California cuisine, so how much of that was a departure from what you'd been doing in France?
So I love the notion of regional cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
So in France, when you were in Normandy, in northern France, you ate differently. They had cows, they had this wonderful brie cheeses, they had a lot of butter and things like that. In south of France, there were no cows, there were olives oil, they had goats, so you
pigeons.
Some wild stuff. Mm-hmm. You had olive oil and stuff like that. And great tomatoes, great vegetables. So that's what we use there. So I want to do the same thing when I open Spago. I said, I want to really do what we have in California. In Los Angeles, you have so many different cultures.
Yes.
So I use...
So how does that reflect?
So I wanted to have the ingredients from here, but reflecting different cultures in my cooking style. So I started out making lobster spring rolls, or I started out making a baking style duck.
So glad I ate before this interview.
Yeah, we started to make pizzas because there's Italian influences too, and some things maybe grilled. I thought because it's south of France and we had a lot of grills there, wood-burning grills, I said, I'm going to build a wood-burning pizza oven and a wood-burning grill and keep the food simple but the highest quality. I went every morning to the fish market, picked out the freshest fish, served it in Spago, like a sashimi, for example, a tuna sashimi. At that time, nobody had that on their menu.
In terms of food, the only thing I can compare it to now, in review-wise, is acting. And I try to avoid reading those reviews, but I wonder, the difference between a performance and food strikes me as vast, you know? Like, food either tastes good and is pleasurable to you or it isn't.
Yeah, I think for people to review this, so now it's different. Everybody is a reviewer now. They take pictures and say, food was great.
How much has that changed things?
Well, it has given the people in the newspaper almost no power.
No power, It's more democratic.
Yeah, it's democratic. That's and people true. Have friends. The different people, they form groups, they chat about food, they hang out in certain restaurants. My son Byron, who's 24 years old, he doesn't go to the restaurants I go to. He hangs out with his friends in these bars where they have cocktails, a few bites to eat.
Does he try to encourage you to go to those places?
Yeah, he totally
has. Have you discovered any good ones?
You know, I am such a creature of habit, but I know I have to look what's going on. But I'm listening to him a lot, what's going on. Like our new restaurant in Washington, which we're going to open in Washington, D.C., in Georgetown, a cut steakhouse also. But it's not only steak. So we're going to have more like a grazing thing and like a steak
to share. You can see the cows grazing?
Yeah, exactly.
You have a yard. You can pick out your own cow.
Yeah.
That would be, that's just food for thought.
Yeah.
I actually went to school with Zagat, John Zagat.
Oh, yeah. He worked with me a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Demandina,
okay. He used my refrigerator. I had a little mini fridge. And the first day that I met him, he said, oh, you mind if I... I said, sure, of course. You know, we're roommates. We're friends now. And the next day was filled to the brim with the most delicious food from New York. I guess all the chefs, maybe you included, sent them food to sample.
Yeah. No, I think it's great, but it's good to have young people because of that. They get really interested in food. You know, it's annoying sometimes when they take too many pictures or whatever, especially if it flash at night.
I bet.
But at the end, what do you think? Is it better that way that people are interested, or would it be better if they wouldn't care? So I said, you know what? It has some distractions, but at the end of the day, I want people to get interested
however
in
however they're getting interested. Yeah. And you're right. It seems I only recently have gotten really interested in cooking. And I think it's because I've discovered the artistic value, the creative value in it. It's such a great outlet.
And I think even for me, even if I cook at home for my family.
You do?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And
does your wife cook?
My wife, Galila, is a very good cook too, but she makes Italian, she's Ethiopian, so she makes great Ethiopian food.
No kidding.
You know, where they have the injera and all these dishes.
Oh, yeah.
But she also cooks great Italian food. So whenever she makes a lasagna or a pasta bolognese at home, and she makes it from scratch, everything, and then if I make it at home, and my boys, Alexander and Oliver, will say, Papa, it's almost as good as Mom's. So
that's funny. Has she ever given any thought to opening her own restaurant?
I think, you know, we have such a big business together, so we don't want to separate it.
Yeah.
And she is really the director of branding and everything to really tie everything together, which is not that easy because we have things in supermarkets. We serve
Express Wolfgang. Yeah. What is your favorite Wolfgang Puck Express?
Well, I like the pizza. So if I go to Gelson or somewhere like that, I order a pizza because I want to try what they do.
Do they always recommend it? Do they offer?
No, never?
No.
Rarely. I put on a baseball cap and sunglasses and I go.
Oh, really?
And then they
must look like a criminal.
I know. Then they say, oh, you sound like Wolfgang Puck.
But I see that you're really just an undercover criminal.
Yeah.
What inspired you to do that, to take your high-end cuisine and put it in a more affordable setting?
Well, I really believe not people don't gonna go every day to Spago or Cut or to an upscale restaurant.
Unless
sometimes
you're like,
you just wanna not even. You wanna stay at home, watch a movie.
That's true.
So if you can have them now, especially deliver the good pizza like from Gelson, a Wolfgang Puck pizza, and all you do is pop it in the oven. And that's it. It's so funny. It's how different people are. Like when I did the Oscars 3 years ago or 2 years ago, when Jennifer Lawrence won an Oscar for Best Actress, I think.
Yes.
And so when she walked into the ballroom where we do the big dinner, I think was with her agent, and I said, "Hello, congratulations, Jennifer." And then she pushed the guy next to her and said, "Who is that?" And he said, "It's Wolfgang Puck. You don't know?" She said, "Oh my God, I have him on my canned soup at home. I see him every day."
It's like meeting Chef Boyardee.
I know.
In the flesh.
She said, "Oh, it's a real person."
That's really funny. You went from being this great, well-respected chef for many years to somebody that everybody started to know, except for Jennifer Lawrence, apparently.
Yeah.
But everybody, even she saw you on the cans. Was that because of the Oscars, because of your involvement at the Governor's Ball when you started cooking there? What was the tipping point for you?
Well, I think the tipping point in the old time, for example, Johnny Carson was one of our best customers.
Uh-huh.
And he used to come in the 80s, mid-80s or so, to Spago here on Sunset Boulevard. And then sometimes on Friday, he said, "Wolfgang, can you make me 10 pizzas to go?
I love those pinches. The smaller, the better. That's not right.
Yeah. Well,
I'll work on it. I'll workshop it.
Okay.
So he would order directly.
So he ordered a pizza. And one day I asked him, "Johnny, what are you doing with 10 pizzas? You're going to have a party tonight or what?" He says, "No, I put them in the freezer. And when I play cards with my friends, we got hungry at 2 a.m. and we have the pizza." I was upset. I almost said, "I don't going to give you the pizzas anymore." And then I said, "Maybe I should just try them out and see what it is when it's frozen."
Well, because you were thinking how that you can't freeze pizza.
Yeah, how dare you freeze
my pizza. My pizza, yes. That's
so
sacrilegious.
Then I cooked one and then I took it home, put it in the freezer. I took it out. I cooked it. I said, "You know, maybe I cooked it too long at Spago. I'm going to cook it a little bit less."
Ah.
So I cooked one halfway only and then put it in the freezer and then took it out. And you know what? The dough was nice and crispy underneath. It was actually very good. I said, "You know, if you give me a pizza at Spago or you give me this one, I wouldn't know the difference."
Really?
Yeah.
So you tested it yourself, and it was all thanks to Johnny Carson.
So I got into the frozen pizza business because of Johnny.
No kidding.
But he didn't need any royalties, so it was okay.
Yeah, that's the nicest part.
He made enough money.
Did he tease you about getting royalties?
Yeah, he said sometimes, "Okay, now you have this to happen. Do I going to get something?" Yeah.
Yeah. And so in terms of being known, did you go on Johnny's show? Did you start?
I did his show once, only. But I think I decided to do Letterman's show in New York.
Oh, right. I remember
when he was right after Johnny Carson at that time. And so,
is that fun for you to do those things?
Very nervous at the beginning, especially with David Letterman and with Johnny for sure, too.
Yeah.
With Jay Leno, less.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know.
Hey, why that?
Yeah.
Why that? I don't intimidate you.
No.
It is. It's a strange thing. Huh? Yeah. And I can imagine for someone who
doesn't. So how are you going to imitate me?
Well, you know, we'll cross a bridge when we come to it.
Okay, good.
As a podcast listener, I'm sure you know that audio piques the imagination, like especially this show. So if you really want to feel like you're in the story, check out Audible's collection of brand new exclusive thrillers.
Their titles feature captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. So you'll be kept on the edge of your seat.
Here's an interesting psychological thriller that is out right now. It's an Audible original. It's called Oracle. It follows an FBI psychic who can help solve missing person cases when he touches those close to the victims. But of course, it comes at a cost. He'll see the horrific moments before the victims disappeared.
Shorties, I just got chills. You have to listen along with me. You don't have to.
No.
But I think you should.
Yeah, it'd be fun. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/long or text long to 500-500. That's audible.com/long or text long to 500-500.
Hiring? Well, with Indeed, your search is over. Because you can get rid of the search and just match. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. That's because Indeed leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. It's constantly learning from your preferences. Basically, the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/long. Just go to Indeed.com/long right now and support the show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/long. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom, and up we'll meet again.
Your name is your stepfather's name, right? Your Puck?
Yeah, Puck is my stepfather's name. So and my mother had me, and then with this guy, he couldn't marry her because my mother was a poor kid. You was know, well, my mother wasn't rich, but my father was actually very well off.
Okay.
I mean, he drove a Mercedes, he owned restaurants, he owned a big farm.
This is right after World War II.
Yeah, after World War II. So he already drove a Mercedes at that time and everything. So,
and I'm sorry, what did he do?
He owned in a small town, the butcher shop, a guest house, a small hotel.
Oh, wow.
Outside a lot of forest. You know, they owned a lot of land. Mm. So he was really well off.
Hmm.
But then his mother said, if you marry this poor girl, you know, I'm going to give everything to your brother, the younger ones.
Wow.
You know, at that time, it was like you had to marry somebody
at
your
level. Same class.
Same class. So
he took a chance. He must have really loved her.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I know it's probably
well, not
say.
Enough to
marry her. Or maybe he resented her, you know, because...
I don't know. You know, who knows what happened. I only met him once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So they split early.
So they split up. And then my mother found this crazy guy named Joseph Puck.
In a home or just on
no,
the streets?
No. I don't know where. I didn't ask her where. But, you know, it's in the village, the new
he was the
families.
He was the village crazy man.
The crazy guy. But he was very into sports. He was a boxer and everything.
Oh, wow.
So.
And his name was Puck.
Puck, yeah.
What was his first name?
Joseph.
Joseph Puck. It's a great. Well, it also fits you so well. You have a puckish energy. You know?
When I started at 14, after 1 month on the job, the chef told me, "You're good for nothing. Go back home."
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he.
What was his name? Let's give him a little shout out.
No, he's dead. He's dead. Thank
oh,
God.
Good. Good.
He was as bad as my stepfather. My stepfather always told me, "You're good for nothing. You're good for nothing."
See, I thought it was your father who was.
No, my father.
Who you only met once.
Yeah.
So the stepfather
the
was
stepfather
a terrorist.
The stepfather was a terrorist.
Oh, my God. So he really was quite crazy.
Totally crazy. Yeah.
Jeez.
When I look at him, he used to beat me up. And,
no.
You know,
kidding.
Oh, my God. It was.
So was that part of your impetus for wanting to get out of the house?
Yeah, totally. And so when I was 14, I left my house.
Oh my God.
I moved
God.
50 miles away.
Oh, your poor mother was left there with him.
Yeah, with him and my two sisters and my brother who was just born.
Oh my God. Did you ever send for them or did you ever try?
No, so then I went there and then I went even farther. I went to France.
You couldn't get far enough away.
And I was so pissed off and I never wrote. They didn't know where I was for 1.5 years.
Wow.
And so one day... Wow. One of the dishwasher or one of the guys in the restaurant I worked in South of France came to me and says, you know, I just hear on the radio, they were looking for you, your family, and you should contact the Austrian embassy.
Oh, wow.
So then I said, what, they want the embassy for what? And so I went to the post office. I had to call the embassy and said, you know, my name is so-and-so, and I heard somebody's looking for me.
Oh, my God. So
at least they said, yes, it's your parents. You better send them a note and do something.
Oh, wow.
And I said, okay, I better write for my poor mother.
For a year and a half,
she didn't know if I was dead or alive.
Oh, my God. And so you never even said to her, I'm mad? You never...
I told her, I'm going to France. That was it.
Oh, okay, so she knew that you had...
I was in France, but she didn't hear nothing for a year and a half. So,
oh,
you know,
my God.
I can see I have children. If I my
can
kids
imagine,
would
yeah.
say I'm moving to Europe and then I couldn't call them, they didn't write, I don't know where they are.
Well, now
they
you could probably nervous. Follow them on Instagram or something and just know.
I know. Now it's easier.
Back then it was only MySpace.
I know.
So you must have been a fairly tough kid.
No, you know what? I was tough, but I was very scared, especially when the chef you know, and my father told, my stepfather said, yeah, you're going to be back in a month or whatever.
He said, you're good for nothing. He made you feel really small.
Yeah, really small. And when I left, he said, oh, you're good for nothing. You're going to come back and going to ask me for money and, you know, trying to put me down. I said, I'm never coming home. So then a month into being in the restaurant, I was 14 and I was like 5 foot tall, you know, really tiny.
Yeah.
And then I was peeling potatoes and washing spinach and doing all cleaning the kitchen. And then on Sunday at lunchtime, we ran out of mashed potatoes. We ran out of potatoes and regular potatoes and everything. And then at the end, it was all my fault. I didn't even know how much they needed. So the chef calls me over and says, oh, you're good for nothing. You better go back home to your mother.
Oh, God. And was I that said, crushing, oh, soul crushing?
I know. So that was probably my worst time. So that evening, I went over the big bridge and I said, I'm going to jump in the river and kill myself.
Oh, my God.
And I was standing up there like for an hour and thinking what it would be dead, if there's a heaven or if there's a hell and things like, you know, how, as a kid, all the thing goes through your mind.
Even as an adult.
Yeah. And then about an hour later, I said, you know, I'm just going to go back tomorrow morning and see what happened. Maybe he's going to forget or maybe he's going to change his mind or whatever. So I go back the next morning. I didn't sleep all night,
hour,
obviously.
You're on the bridge.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Thank God.
Yeah. And then I went back, and the apprentice who was above me was happy to see me, because if not, he would have to peel potatoes and everything. Yeah. And then he hid me in the vegetable cellar. We had a cellar underneath the hotel.
Because
the
he restaurant. Knew that the head chef was still so upset?
Yeah. Well, he knew also he doesn't go down there. So I was peeling onions and potatoes.
Oh, in secret?
In secret, yeah. And then 3 weeks later, the chef comes down and sees me there and says, what are you doing here? And he tried to grab me and pull me out. I dug my heels in and I said, I'm not going home.
Wow.
And he didn't know what to do. He screamed at me. I said, I'm not going home.
Oh, my God.
And then finally, he didn't know what to do. He called the owner of the hotel who was the manager too. And he says, what should I do with this kid? You know, and it's yelling. And he's good for nothing. He's too young and too little. And
zut alors.
Yeah.
Merde.
Then the owner was nice. And he sent me to his other, they had another little hotel there. And there they had a woman chef. And
he wanted to get you away from this man.
Yeah, yeah. And then she was nice. She said, just be quiet and do your job and everything will be fine. And everything ended up okay.
And then amazing, I'll say, that's an understatement. but amazing that just because of the potato incident, he would be so irate. It's like you reminded him of somebody.
I said, you know what, this is the reincarnation. I go away from my stepfather and now I find another crazy guy.
You can't avoid him. Well,
and naturally afterwards, both of them thought because of them, I became successful.
Of course.
You know, my father used to come to Spago and says, if I would have been just like all the other fathers around, you know, you would have ended up somewhere being nothing.
Oof, how angry does that make you? Did that make you very, must have been frustrated.
It's for years and years, I never wanted to go home to Austria.
I bet.
And to even to stay there.
Yeah.
So I have never spent more than a week, maybe at the most, in Austria, but never more than a week or even less in my where I grew up.
Really? And just because the associations are so dark.
I got this crazy feeling over me. And, you know, I saw a psychiatrist 4 years ago and everything, but it didn't go away. Yeah. Even if I talk about it now, I can talk about it, but, you know, it doesn't make me feel comfortable when I go home. So the funny thing is, this year I'm going to go for 10 days.
Really?
But
with your kids?
With my wife and my kids too, And my kids going to stay with my sister. And my wife and myself going to go to this spa. And the spa is next door to the hotel where my mother used to work and where I used to spend summers
there. No kidding. Are you going to be able to see the home you grew up in?
Yeah, I'm going to go see because my parents are both gone. You know, but my sister lives in the same house. And I always tell my sister, how can you live in the house?
Yeah,
but
what did she say?
She said, I love it. I love it. Okay.
He was abusive to her, I imagine.
Also, yeah.
Totally. Oh, my God. You know, it may be quite therapeutic for you to revisit that and to kind of like, I mean, obviously you love food. You have a passion for it. It's food. But deeper than that, how much of it do you think is like, hey, fuck you, dad? Stepdad, you know, I mean, like, look what I've done.
You know, in the old time, I don't think anymore about that. But in the old time, I remember when I left for America And I told him, I'm not coming back until I have a Mercedes, and I'm going to drive it through the front door into the living room of the house.
Did you actually buy a Mercedes when you
came? You know, then I had a Mercedes, and I sent it to my sister in Austria. My sister was a school teacher, school principal.
So that's amazing that you were able to do that. And then that your mother was able to see you.
Yeah.
You
know, no, I think for my mother, it was really special to see me successful and knowing all these people.
For any parents.
I remember when my mother came over with my stepfather too. And
I think
in 1983 or 84, when they came, I brought them first to New York and then we went to Washington. Uh-huh. At that time, Reagan was president. Uh-huh. And I knew Mike Diva very well. So I called up Mike and said, you know, can we come and visit the White House? And he says, yeah, why you don't come over and have lunch with us?
Oh, my God.
So, you know.
How great. What a great
moment. And then we had lunch there and Nancy came by and said hello and everything.
And she, of course, she knew you at that point. Because at that point, Spago had been open for a while.
Yeah, I know.
Ma Maison.
Yeah, I know for Ma Maison and everything.
Well, so. I mean, everyone must have gone in there. I'm guessing Arnold Schwarzenegger eats there at least a couple times.
Yeah, not now since he's divorced, not as much.
Okay. He does the Wolfgang Puck Express. Going,
yeah. No, I think everybody, especially the older people, I love. Like, I became very good friends with Billy Wilder.
Oh, wow.
You know, who's Austrian,
great,
too.
Sure,
and
right.
Even older than that, like with Orson Welles. I mean, some of the giants, really. Yeah.
He must have eaten a lot there.
Yeah, totally, totally.
Yeah, you must have fed him well.
So I think I really had an affection for these people, you know.
Yeah, why? I wonder why.
I don't know. You know, in a way.
You yourself have a lot of acting credits.
Yeah, but not good one either.
No? Did you ever harbor ambitions?
No, the opposite.
Oh, yeah.
Many times I say no. Because I said, I don't want to be known as a bad actor.
Uh-huh,
you know, I'd much rather be known as a good chef.
Yeah, let me tell you how it feels.
I don't know. I think practice makes better or perfect.
And what are you looking to do next? Is there a culinary world you haven't explored that you'd like to?
There's always an evolution. You know, we don't going to change the world in one day or do something totally different, totally new. No, I like the food has to taste good. That's first, you know. Just to play around with all these chemicals and whatever a lot of young people do today, it doesn't mean anything unless you want to go back and eat it again. You know, just the newness wears off really fast.
Yes, yeah, so, the novelty.
To me, cooking is about great products. Uh-huh. You know, if you start with the best products and then don't fuck it up and you're done.
Yeah, well, that's maybe why you had you focused on local ingredients. And
even still today, I like to go to the fish market.
You do.
I like to go to the farmer's market.
Yeah.
If you say, Wolfgang, why you don't go shopping? You need a new suit. I hate it.
Oh, really? Clothes and stuff like that, doesn't it? Yeah. You don't value that stuff.
No.
But that's what I love about the movie Jiro, Dreams of Sushi. I love the parts where you watch him pick out the ingredients.
So that, you know, it's an interesting thing because this created a whole new genre for Netflix.
Yes, that's right. Do you enjoy those shows?
Yeah.
Chef's Table.
Yeah, they're doing a movie about me too. Not just Chef's Table, but a one hour and a half whole life story.
Oh, great. So that's something that you had to sit for and...
Yeah.
We're interviewed for. Is that embarrassing at all? Do you get...
No, not anymore now. Yeah. Because I really tell the story now the way it was. Before, I blocked it all out. But now...
Why? Why? Because of your family?
I don't know. Maybe because of the family. Mm. Maybe I did. Maybe it was embarrassing to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think... But now I want young people to know. You know, adversity sometimes is not a bad thing. And, you know, I didn't... come from a rich family. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a penny when I came to America. But if you work hard, you have some talent, you can achieve a lot. You know, about 3 years ago or so, the Wall Street Journal did an article on me.
Mm-hmm.
And the end of the question, the last question was, so what is your dream?
Uh-huh.
And you know, I never went to high school, to college, nothing. I said, my dream would be to go to Harvard.
Oh, really?
So 5 days later, the dean of the business school calls me and says, when you want to come to Harvard?
Wow, isn't that great? Now you get an honorary degree
from Harvard. Then I said, I don't know. I never went to high school. I never went to college. I don't even use a computer. How can I go to Harvard? He says, no, we have the right program for you and everything. So then
he said, anybody can go to Harvard.
Then 2 years ago, I started this program called OPM, Owner Presidents Management.
Mm-hmm.
And I did 1 month 2 years ago. Last year, 1 month in February. And this year in March, we graduated this year, end of March.
OPM.
OPM.
So you graduated.
Yeah.
OPM sounds...
Owner President's Management.
It sounds a little too much like opium for me, but...
Okay, but
you know.
Close enough. Yes, yeah, close. I didn't have to take any drugs in college.
Okay,
though.
Good. Well, then you didn't really go to college.
That was too much to learn, yeah. But it was so exciting because the professors there, like I became very friends with a guy named Boris Groysberg. Mm-hmm. He's so passionate, just the way I'm about my thing.
Oh, this must be exciting.
Yeah, it was a very exciting time. I learned so much.
So you were able to graduate, and did they have a little ceremony?
Yeah, I had my whole family. Yeah, big ceremony there. Yeah, so I had my kids, the younger one, the older one.
And they
one.
Must have just been graduating from college.
Yeah, my son Byron graduated from Cornell last year.
Oh, wow.
My son Cameron is working on his PhD. He's going to be a professor.
No kidding.
I have two little ones.
PhD in what?
PhD in the history of physics. So he's going to talk about history
of
physics,
a dumbass.
Science. Yeah.
Oh,
he doesn't.
That's a shame.
He doesn't have a brain.
That's too
at
bad.
Least not the brain to make money, because if not, he would have chosen another thing. But he married very smartly because he married a woman who also went to Harvard Business School.
Oh, wow.
But she works for McKinsey Consulting, and they make good money there.
Well,
he's off my payroll totally.
Oh, that's good. So you have room for somebody?
Well,
on
I have
payroll.
Two young ones. Oh, good, I'm going to continue.
I hope they're working.
Yeah.
I like Byron selfishly because he was excited for you to do this. They don't have accents at all, do they? Do they?
No,
not even.
They actually speak English the proper way, not like me.
No, I love
not
the
not that
accent.
They learned it from my wife Galila because she has an Ethiopian accent.
Oh wow, yeah. And where did you guys meet?
We met at the restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Most of the people I meet at the restaurant.
That's right, because you're always there.
Yeah, I'm always there, yeah.
And how many do you have, not wives, restaurants?
So we have upscale restaurants, 27. So,
And speaking of that, you are involved in multiple charities.
Yeah.
Now, was giving back, can you talk a little bit about
well,
those
charities? Well, you know, already when I started Spargo in 1982, in 1983, I saw when I drove from Melrose, they had this old folks home at that time. They sat outside all sad. And then I heard about one of our customers was doing meal deliveries for homebound people and everything. So at that time, AIDS was coming on so strong. And, you know, people threw their kids out, their sons out or whatever and says, you know, you have AIDS. You know, people didn't know what it was.
And this is something that you can probably at least psychologically relate to.
Yeah.
Because you...
Being faced, not accepted,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, especially when you're dealing with such high-end clientele,
yeah.
You know, and there's so much privilege. So you're... You grew up without...
You know, my mother had Alzheimer's at the end.
Oh, wow.
And so we raised a lot of money in Las Vegas with Larry Obo, and we built this big Alzheimer's Research Center, one of the top one in the world, which is run by the Cleveland Clinic.
Wow.
So
well,
hopefully they figure that out one day too.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope, because there must be nothing worse than seeing somebody that you love go through that. But it's also, I can't get past that you grew up without much means.
Yeah.
So you must feel somewhat connected to people.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And you know what? It was amazing. When I was 11 years old, there is a welfare thing like that, a charity group called Save the Children. But Save the Children picked me and 20 kids from our region in Austria and sent me once for 3 months to London, to England.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
When
I was a kid.
Really?
Because they...
Well, Save the Children's still an active organization. They're So do you continue? You must support
yeah,
them?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, for sure.
Oh, my God. And they must know that now that you were a beneficiary.
Yeah, yeah. But I told them that we did a benefit like that at Spargo, and they said, can you say a few words? And I said, you know what? I will say a few words, but you guys mean a lot to me because I never went on vacation with my parents. You actually sent me to England when I was a kid, and that was the first time in my life I had a vacation. It was the first time I found cornflakes.
Wow,
and
really?
I loved them. I used
corn
to eat them.
Flakes.
Cornflakes with brown sugar and milk. I used to love it. So I said a lot of things I learned in England.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you were a child they saved.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Do, 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 shaboom.
Want to hear a really satisfying sound? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language this year, it'll be one of your favorite sounds too. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. With Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by over 200 language experts, you can start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. I've been loving learning Spanish because I love traveling to Spanish-speaking countries, and I just want to be better at communicating with the people. I love the people there, and I want to be able to get to know them better. I also love the food, so I'd like to be better at ordering food so I don't order the wrong thing. They teach you very practical, real-world language skills. And here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/long. Get 55% off at babbel.com/long, spelled BABBEL.com/long. Rules and restrictions may apply. If you run an e-commerce business, you know the amount of work it takes to produce something great.
So if you want to optimize your workflow and reduce costs, ShipStation is the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates wherever you sell online.
ShipStation's simple dashboard makes managing orders, smooth label printing, reporting, and customer service unbelievably easy.
With shipping configurations automatically applied, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online.
Plus, save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off UPS, DHL Express, and USPS rates. Over 130,000 companies have grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation.
ShipStation is the innovative tool that helps turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth.
Go to ShipStation.com and use code LONG to sign up for your free 60-day trial.
That's ShipStation.com, code LONG.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom and up, we'll meet again.
What other guilty pleasures do you have that people might be surprised by, like Twinkies or...
No, chocolate. Good chocolate. It has to be 65%, 75% chocolate.
Do all Austrians love chocolate? Is that a...
I think we grew up on sweets a lot. Uh-huh. We used to have for dinner, like noodles with sweet noodles, you know,
really?
And a glass of milk, that was dinner. Or we used to have crepes with marmalade inside and a glass of milk, that was dinner.
Really?
And as kids... We didn't really miss meat at all.
Yeah.
My parents didn't have a refrigerator at home. You
because
know,
you said so you had meat, you were allowed meat once a week.
Once a week. Right. My mother went to town. They had to walk like an hour to the butcher shop and then buy some pork meat or whatever. And then they made Wiener Schnitzel. And it was always good. And we had a great garden. So everything came from the garden.
Do you still garden? I love the garden.
Like the way... We talk now farm to table.
Yes.
I grew up like that. When I was a kid, something special was a canned pineapple.
I look back at some of the meals my mom prepared for lunch, and I cringe thinking how little I appreciated them because she would go through to such lengths to, you know, little healthy lunches, and you wrap them all up and write a little note. And then I would trade for, you know, Twinkies and ho-hos with other kids. These like this crap. I really regret that.
Yeah,
I'm
we had everything homemade. Marmalade.
Yeah.
We went
homemade
in the
marmalade.
We went in the forest, picked raspberries, strawberries, blueberries.
Wow.
Brought them home and my mother cooked them and made with the raspberries raspberry juice. So we had our own spring at home. So we had a pump and had to pump out the water.
So cool.
It went like,
sweet old lady marmalade.
Yeah. And we had the best marmalade. I loved it.
This is maybe a strange question, but do you use emojis on the phone? Do you have a phone now?
Only hearts for my wife.
Oh, man. That is the nicest answer. I ask everyone that.
Yeah.
And that is easily the nicest. Right. Or it's second to Neil Patrick Harris singing the eggplant with the water coming out. Hearts to your wife. That's how you end texts.
A text to her,
really sweet. If you could be a professional athlete, what sport would you play, you think?
If today I wanted to be like Roger Federer.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Because he has...
Endorsements.
Well, makes a lot of money. Yeah. But he is, at his age, still one of the tops in the world.
This is you.
And with the grace he moves, makes it look so effortless and everything. And I love to play tennis too.
Oh,
now,
okay.
If you would have asked me as a young kid, a skier, in Austria we ski.
Oh,
skiing is the main sport.
Now you're able to take, I imagine you take your own family on vacation.
Yeah, we go up to Vail or somewhere and ski.
That's amazing. I'm so happy for you. I oftentimes you meet successful people who have achieved a lot. And it's now here you are, years later, you are... doing that. You're doing what he did. And I'm sure there are young chefs observing you walking in with De Niro and
yeah, and I think I'm giving a commencement speech up in the culinary school up in Pasadena. Why? Because I want to tell the young people who go through that, that you know what? Even you have adversity, you can go through it and don't use no for an answer.
It's an incredible story.
You can
story.
Do it, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, who do you ever get starstruck around people now when you, because you've met everyone, I'm sure.
I don't know. I think I met almost everybody in the world. Yeah. You know, I used to sit with Gene Kelly. I used to play tennis with him. And Sidney Poitier is the
guy. Better dance with him, but it's cool to sit with him.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch that at all. Like Sidney Poitier is the godfather of my children. Wow. You know? So I met a lot of these people and, you know, some of them are not good and some of them are amazing.
Yeah, some of you can...
So I think, but I met so many amazing people.
But you probably see them all as like, you know them in such an informal way that they probably just all...
Yeah, it's totally easy. You sit down with them, hang out with them, talk to them.
Do you enjoy that part of your...
For sure.
Going around the tables?
I really think that is an important part in my life to go out, talk to people, welcome them to our restaurant. And, you know, because I think... People come to our place and they pay. Mm-hmm. It's like, but for me, it's like my home.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you invite friends over to your house or people, you business people, whatever they are, you're going to say hello to them and please, you're welcome to my house here. Yeah. You know, look at that. I have great artwork or I make good food, whatever.
Yes, of course. You're going to be inviting. Yeah. You're going to embrace.
So that way, I think people and myself, we have a connection then.
Yeah.
And I think to me, to connect with people is an important part.
And food, there are few things that are more intimate than
it's
food.
Exactly. So nothing better than connect with food.
I love, this is a very selfish question, and I love Asian food. I mentioned, I love soup dumplings, Xiaolongbao. Uh-huh. What are some of your favorite, just for me, what are some of your favorite Chinese, Asian cuisine restaurants?
I love so many different things. Yeah. Probably if I would have to pick one.
Yeah.
Would be Peking duck.
Oh, you love Peking duck.
I love duck.
They serve that at Chinhua?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I modified it. I serve it with the plum sauce and I have different pancakes and everything. Huh. But in every one of our restaurants, I serve it at Spago.
Oh, really?
I told Chef Hugo to serve it at the Bel Air Hotel. We're going to start serving it at Cut in Washington, D.C. and in New York, too. As a matter of fact, when I opened Chinhua, I had a whole duck menu.
Ducks hate you.
Ducks don't like me. No.
I hope they're not listening. We're not sponsored by ducks, are we? Oh, we're almost done. Other than L.A., where would you want to live? Because I know you've lived here for a long time.
You know, I lived here in L.A. and I love it here. Mm-hmm. I think living in L.A. is great. Now, better than ever, I think it has become a world-class city in art and many different things, you know.
Culinarily, too. Culinarily, thanks to...
For sure. And I think, so the climate is amazing. You can live in a nice house instead of living in an apartment building on the 32nd floor.
Yeah.
I think it's really a great place to live. For a chef, we have great products here. When you get this, I was just in New York at Cut, and I said, I should have bought the strawberries from the farmer. There's a farmer in Oxnard. They're called Harris Berries. Uh-huh. And I said, you know, it's a totally different experience than when you get them there.
Really?
So we have so many great ingredients here. It makes it really fun to cook because it all starts with great ingredients.
But I'm sure you can find great ingredients there. I mean, in the farms.
No, but in the summer, for 2 months.
Yeah.
You get the tomatoes for 1 month and the corn for 1 month and then the strawberries and then it's over.
Do you have a garden at your house?
You know, I have a garden at the house, but I'm not a good gardener.
Okay. What about snack? Do you ever have like guilty pleasure snack foods like combos or Doritos or?
No. No. Never.
I feel so bad.
As a matter of fact, I don't like even my wife loves potato chips. Like she brings potato chips to the bedroom. I said, I hate the smell of that. I don't want them.
Wow.
I don't have, and I don't like peanut butter.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, we never have peanut butter at home, my poor kids.
Uh-huh. Did you make their school lunches ever? Did you ever?
Yeah, all the time.
And then they really, I can't imagine. What kind of, so are you making them sandwiches and stuff?
Yeah, I know. With prosciutto, arugula, and a little fresh mozzarella and olive oil.
God, it's so great.
Oliver, when he went to the Center for Early Education at the beginning, So I used to make his lunch. Uh-huh. And like he used to love the rice and the lobster from Chinoa. So I always ordered more. And he used to take a little box of Chinoa lobster with him to the school. And Beverly, one of the teachers, said, Oliver, if you don't want to finish your lunch, just tell me. I will finish it.
That's funny.
Yeah, I went to Spago once and there was an incredible white truffle thing on the menu. Yeah. It was a white truffle pasta. I'm sure you're familiar with it. And it was for a meeting with, this is going to sound very name droppy, but it was Joel Silver and Robert Downey Jr. and his wife. And Robert's wife ran Joel's company. And it was about a movie that they wanted me to do. And I said, oh my God. And the waiter told us about the white truffle special, pasta. And I said, oh my God, that's me. And he said, it's $150. And I said, oh, well, oof. And I made a big deal. Because when I was growing up, when we would go to restaurants, which was, you know, maybe once every other week, we didn't get appetizers. There were limitations, you know.
Yeah.
I was not poor by any means, but it was, so I thought, oh, $150, I can't do this. And Joel Silver said, do you want it? Do you want the pasta? And I said, well, yeah, but I can't. And he said, he's getting the pasta. And he got me this pasta. And I felt it was so good. Good is not it's too small. But it was, I couldn't stop thinking about these white truffles and how much it was. And I just regressed back to being a kid and I felt so guilty. But I will never forget. It was one of the most pleasurable experiences of my life. I will never forget that. And I have you to thank for that.
Yeah. You know, I went once I used to go to the truffle auction in Piemonte in Italy all the time. And I bought once one.
That must be fun. Is that fun?
I loved it. You know, you heard, it's like some people go to painting or jewelry auction. Yeah. I went to the truffle and there was one room like twice the size as your room here in an old castle where we had lunch. And then
I should point out, this is a very small room. We're basically in a closet.
Yeah. Right. So it was maybe 20 by 20, the room or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they had all this beautiful silver platter with the white napkins and the different truffles, bigger one, smaller one. I bought the biggest one, and that was, you know, in the 90s for $18,000 or $19,000.
And for then one
was 2 pounds.
Oh my God. And so, that was in the 90s?
Yeah. And then I brought it home. And, you know, then I put it in, they gave me a nice wooden box, and I put another box around with tape so it doesn't smell off.
What did you call
your truffle? No, so then I come in, go through custom, and all of a sudden they had the dog there, and the dog was smelling. I didn't declare it and nothing. I said, oh my shit, they're gonna take my truffle away and throw it down in the garbage. And I started to sweat, and the lady called me over, a police officer called me over and said, Wolfgang, and she didn't say Wolfgang, I said, where are you coming from? I said, oh, I was in Milan, I was cooking in dinner, and you know, we own Spago here and this. I went on talking
sweating.
Fast. And they said, okay.
Oh, she let you go?
She let me go,
My God.
But the dog was sniffing around my bag. I could have kicked him. I don't know.
So from then on, you had to...
Next year, I said, okay, I'm going to declare it.
You had to put it in a lubricated condom.
Yeah.
up your pooping shopping. That's really funny. That's really funny. Because they would have, right, made you throw it out, I suppose.
Yeah, totally. And maybe give me a fine for not declaring it.
Yes, that's funny. That now makes me think that $150 for that fish was a steal. Yeah,
it's expensive.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
Even the regular ones. Now, this was an auction, and this is like a specimen. This truffle was like that big.
Two-pound truffle.
But it cost $4,000 a pound.
Oh, my God.
So it's expensive.
And it's pigs root it out, right?
Not pigs anymore. No. Dogs, mostly.
Oh, dogs. Oh, yeah, like
because the pigs... They grow, and then they have this snout, you know, and they can dig it's underneath the earth, like maybe that much underneath, 10 inches underneath. And the pigs can smell it. They have a very good nose. But to hold them back, it's very difficult. They eat them. With the dogs, you pull them back and, you know, they go away. But the pig might have 200 pounds.
So that's why this drug-sniffing dog was so eager to get your truffle.
He was for other drugs, not for truffle drugs, I think so.
And those drugs, I imagine it would be hard to smoke marijuana and do what you do. That would be very difficult.
I don't need drugs. I have good food. It's enough of a drug for me.
It's the best drug.
Yeah.
If you could have dinner with three people whom you've never met, living or dead.
Wow, there are too many to miss. I think I would have a banquet and go from one to the other and listen to their stories. Like I had... I think, you know, of older people, maybe a writer like Shakespeare would be really interesting. Maybe a brilliant mind like Picasso would be really interesting. And then music. I mean, when just saw
another Wolfgang.
Bohemian, but also the modern one.
Yeah.
Like I saw Bohemian Rhapsody. And I thought to
I
me.
I love how you say that.
To me, it was an experience. And I think the guy who played Freddie, it was amazing.
Rami Malek, incredible.
Yeah, it was incredible. I said, you know what? This was actually good. And I saw him at the Academy Awards. And, you know, I said, oh, you know, I love Queen. I said, he said, you know any song? And I went, Mama, you know, I can't sing.
He quizzed you?
He looked at me and says, stay in the kitchen.
Then he nudged his friend and he goes, who's that? He nudged Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
Who is that? That's fantastic. I met Henry Kissinger. I saw Henry Kissinger once. It was, I was drinking margaritas. It was the first time I got really drunk on margaritas. And I'm not proud of this, but I was at a party for, it was that movie Frida Kahlo. And it was an after party for this movie. And Henry Kissinger happened to be there for some reason. And he was squiring two really beautiful statuesque women. And he walked, he kind of like was gliding across the floor on his way to the exit. And I wanted to say something to him. I don't know why. And I said, Henry, Mr. Kissinger. And And I got his attention. He stopped and he turned and looked at me. And I said, you're awesome at diplomacy. And he said, thank you very much. Yeah. And he kept walking. You're awesome at diplomacy. I imagine your interaction with Mr. Kissinger was
I used to sit with him. He used to come to Spago because he was on the board of Century Fox. So he used to come out here all the time, you know, for board meetings. And then he used to come to Spago for dinner. And I used to sit with him and we talked because we both talked German. So it was good.
Oh, right, of course. Yeah. That's good. Scheißen nochmal.
No. Einmal ist genug.
I hope my dad's listening. My dad is hopefully listening. Yeah. He speaks German. Who do you know the Muppets? The show The Muppets.
I heard about it. Yeah, I don't. I am the worst. The only I don't watch much TV.
Oh well, you're so busy.
I'm busy at night, so I don't sit at home at night watching TV. I work. I think I watch the news. I think for me it was great when CNN came along a long time ago. You could watch news anytime, not only at 11 o'clock or at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
So that was important, and now. Most of the movies I see are on planes. You know, we have restaurants so far away, New York, in London, in the Middle East. So you spend 16 hours on a plane or in Singapore. I mean, it takes forever. Wow. So I watched three movies. I just watched A Star Is Born, and I watched Bohemian Rhapsody, and I watched Free Solo this week.
Wow. All in one.
On the plane.
On your way to Orlando.
No, on my way to New York.
So what? So and also you see these people all the time at the Oscars.
Sometimes I don't know what to do, especially the young one.
I bet.
Like I remember we did the Oscars and we were in the green room with my son Byron, and then my son says, "Oh my God, look who is here!" And it was the main guy from Black Panther.
Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah. Yes.
And are you tempted to just say, what do you say? What do you have a standard line? Would you say, good to see you?
Hello. It depends if I meet them at the restaurant or somewhere else. Or
do you have a good memory in terms of meeting people?
Yeah. A lot of people tell me, I say, how you remember?
I'm jealous. I'm the worst.
I
remember this.
I remember also a lot of people. I forget. People have their birthday party 10 years ago in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Wow. And then they come back and says, don't you remember I had my birthday party here?
Right.
And they remembered every episode.
Yeah,
and for a long time ago, I still remember in 1984, we had the Olympics here.
Yes.
The King of Sweden with his wife came to Spago and 5-6 other people. They were sitting next to the kitchen. Mm-hmm. I go out and give the queen my cookbook, signed my cookbook for her. And he grabs the book and says, no, I cook at home, you know. So I signed it to him too. King Gustav, I think was his name. And so then years later, maybe.
I wouldn't think a king would do something like that. That's a funny
thing. And I sat down with him. And
very regal.
And then he says, isn't there a bar or a club we can go to? And I said, well, I know this club next to Cedar Sinai. There used to be a club there.
You didn't hide.
And then I called them up, and I said, "Can we? I have the King of Sweden here. What he wants to go to a club."
The King of
and
where?
The guy laughed at me and said, "Fuck it, you know, I have no table, not for anybody. Their joint is packed." And I said, "Okay."
Even so, for the King of Sweden?
Yeah, so then we went over to the Beverly Wilshire. He stayed there, and they had a thing called Hernando's Hideaway. I ran in and said, "Can we put a table together for eight people?" And the head bartender said, "We already gave last call."
So oh my God.
And I said, "It's for the King of Sweden." And he said, "I don't care."
You probably don't hear that call very often. "I'm sorry, King, there's no room."
I know. So I said, "Oh, I think it's," and I just told him, "It's boring. You don't want to go in there. It's over."
You must have been so embarrassed.
I want to go home. But then, so about 6 years ago, we were in Saint-Tropez. My friend has a house next to the King of Sweden, and he has the same birthday as me. Uh-huh. So he does a birthday party, and the King of Sweden, he knows him, you know, privately very well. They always
just from King stuff.
Yeah. So and I sit across from him from dinner. Uh-huh. So and I told him that story. Uh-huh. He looked at me and thought I was crazy.
Oh, really? Yeah. Really? He said, "You must be. Are you sure you have the right king?
You remember when you came to Spago?"
Maybe it's another Scandinavian king.
Yeah.
That's really funny. I'm guessing you don't. But do you have a vanity plate on your car? A vanity license plate?
No.
If you had one, what would yours say?
I don't want to because then people know who you are, and I much rather be
W Puck.
Yeah,
yeah. Wolf. Do people call you? They call
Wolf,
you Chef.
Wolf. Mostly you call it Wolf or Wolfgang.
Wolf.
Yeah.
Wolf.
Wolf. Wolf.
That's tough for me.
Wolf.
I had a slight speech impediment as a kid, and Wolf is the kind of holdover.
You can call me Wolfgang then.
Wolfgang. Wolfie. Do you prefer the Beatles or the Rolling Stones?
Rolling Stones.
Wow, that was the fastest I've ever heard anyone answer that, yeah. Except someone in the Rolling Stones. What would you want your epitaph to read? I don't want to be too dark, but have you given any thought to something like that?
He was a good father.
Yeah. That's a really good answer.
I think at the end, that's the most important thing. Yeah. Really, you know, businesses come and go.
Yeah.
You are successful, not so successful. Everybody who is successful had big failures too.
Yeah.
Look at our president.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
I know.
Are there people that you would rather, I mean, you can't turn anyone away from your restaurant, but are there people that you think, I don't want to go over there and do a whole song and dance with them, you know, if they come to your restaurant?
You know, I think I honor them when they come to our restaurant. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, politics has to stay out. Religion has to stay out. I think I don't get into a discussion with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, with politics here in Los Angeles now, where we are, you know, I don't think it's for me to do that. You know, when I feel when people come to the restaurant, I'm
it's
here
about food.
To give them an experience.
Yes.
I don't gonna talk about their politics. Yeah. You know, if somebody's best friends with Trump, and you know, I have people who are best friends with the president. Then, you know what? I don't gonna serve you now,
right? Right.
You because they're my friend too. So it's
maybe right. I mean, maybe you cook their salmon a little bit
put
longer.
Put something in to go home this year. Or something.
Right, like the movie Waiting, which I'm guessing you didn't see. And if people want to donate to Meals on Wheels, I'm guessing
you can go on the website Meals on Wheels.
Okay,
St. Vincent Meals on Wheels.
St. Vincent Meals on Wheels, and you're still involved in that. And
still
Save
involved
the Children.
With that, yeah, forever. And we also have a big. My wife started it. She's from Ethiopia. She has an orphanage in Ethiopia, which started with 25 kids, and now we have 800 kids, which we support. And actually, I'm going next Friday to Austria. And they are going to honor me. But I said, I don't want just an honor. I don't need a medal or some statue. They said, well, we donate 50,000 euros to your charity. So we're going to give 50,000 euros to the school in Ethiopia, in the countryside in Ethiopia, where the school operates almost for 2 months with that, for the kids to eat, for the teacher's salary, electricity.
Is that Addis Ababa?
Outside of the city, yeah.
Oh, wow. That is incredible. And, and where can people donate to that?
It's Dreams for Future Africa.
Dreams for Future Africa.
Yeah. My wife is from Africa. From
Ethiopia. Addis. And there's a little Ethiopia here in Los Angeles. And do you guys ever eat down there? I think it's on Fairfax.
Yeah, yeah. On Fairfax. Yeah, a lot of Ethiopian restaurants.
Yeah.
And my mother-in-law is here. I said she brought two suitcases. And I took him out of the car. I said, what do you have in here? A dead body? She says, no, goats. It's food.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's slightly insulting to you.
I love it. I love it because she is so excited. And like we had it last night.
Oh, yeah.
And she had
a lot of goat,
Ethiopian
right?
food. Yeah.
And what are
injera and the slow cooked things. And, you know, they have like these chickpeas, which they cook with a lot of these Berber spices and lentils and chicken in this onion jalapeno sauce. Mm. So,
Wolf, when you, sorry to interrupt.
It's really, really delicious food.
Yeah.
They don't have a big variety, right. But what they do is very good.
A little curry-ish. There's some.
Yeah, it's a little bit like Indian, but without the curry thing, without the yellow color.
And the turmeric.
Yeah.
When you go to restaurants, do chefs come over and pay their respects?
Yeah, I generally go to restaurants where I have friends and where I know them.
Yeah.
So I think.
I wonder if they get nervous to cook for you.
Oh, no, I'm easy.
Yeah. I would, but you're welcome.
But I'm really easy, so I can anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I used to go to Billy Wilder's house, Billy and Audrey Wilder, you know. Uh-huh. And one day we were in the kitchen and Audrey was cooking. We were only like six people or something like that. And this other lady for the told Audrey, I said, aren't you nervous cooking for Wolfgang? For Wolfgang Puck? Uh-huh. For Wolfgang? And Audrey looked at me and said, hell no, I don't give a shit. If he doesn't like it, he can flush it down the toilet.
He can puck off.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
She was so funny.
Wow, that's bold.
Yeah,
that is very
totally,
bold.
Totally. Oh, she had like...
That's wilder than I would have thought.
Oh, my God. She is...
Oh, boy.
She was like...
Yeah.
Didn't say it in him, too. Both had
very
this
Austrian,
really
that's a very Austrian
cynical sense of humor.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. What, is there any... When you're just... You just want to... Whip something up. You're home. You're hungry. It's been a long day. You just want to. What do you do? Do you ever just throw something together?
Like no. I just would make a grilled cheese sandwich.
Oh yeah.
We'd put a little jalapeno in, or a little prosciutto in, or a little mustard, and
of course
it.
You do.
And have a good glass of red wine.
Well, thank you so much,
thank
Chef.
You.
This was a real pleasure.
My thanks pleasure.
Thanks for listening, guys.
So that happened. Thank you. I'm working on it. No, that's not good. He was more pocket.
I would say that's more German than Austrian.
Yes. It was like this. It was more up. It was more like this, upbeat.
So you just got pucked.
Oh, yeah. You all got
ear pucked. Yeah. That was very interesting.
It was.
I like at one point you compare him to Chef Boyardee, and I sort of held my breath on that. Really lucky he
that
wasn't insulted by that.
Yeah.
Hopefully he just wasn't listening to you.
I think so. He didn't listen to my Johnny Carson impression. Or he did.
He did. I think he liked that.
I think that was the one. Yeah, he did like that. And he said, are you going to do me? He was playful. He was sweet. God, I like that guy.
He opened up so quickly,
I know.
Thought.
Well, the first thing was right away, he casually dropped that his father was a terrorist.
That was funny.
Right away. Like,
you go, wait, an actual terrorist? His story is incredible.
It's crazy.
Incredible.
Yeah.
You also misunderstood.
Yeah, we were disconnected for that part too, because I thought I was confused as to who the father was, who was the terrorist. I thought it was the biological father.
No, because his biological father was from a different class, and his family, I guess, wouldn't let him marry this woman that he had impregnated.
Right, right. That took me. I was behind on that.
And then
I missed that.
So not only. As tragic as that is to have your own father not be in your life because your mother happened to be from a different class, as tragic as that is, then on top of that, your mother recovers from that, recoups, marries a new guy, who ends up being this evil person.
He said the village like a crazy person.
It's crazy.
And he said it with such that his puckish energy and delivery that I thought like he was a crazy guy, like the way in a kind of a positive, fun way. Like the way our mother is, or they're crazy. My mom is crazy.
Don't get him started.
Yeah, but he was. It sounded like dark crazy.
Yeah, like certified in
like cuckoo's
evil.
Nest. Yeah.
Like evil. He made him sound evil.
Well, we were talking about this the other day too about struggle. Like, is struggle a necessary part of success? Like certainly in art, do people have to struggle to be able to create? I mean, it kept coming back to, well, why do you do this? It's one thing to like open Spago or Mamaison or whatever. You have like a great success. And I would imagine most chefs would do that and then like maintain that restaurant or maybe open another one. But he has tons. And
I know I would.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
If I had 27 restaurants throughout the country, and I had my name on frozen pizza, and I had as much money as he does, I don't like admitting this about myself, but I'm pretty sure that I would just coast and sit around and collect money.
Oh my God.
I'm sure I would still cook because I enjoy it, but I wouldn't be trying to open the 28th restaurant. I wouldn't be pushing like that.
I know, but it's. But it was that.
But
was
I also didn't have a stepfather who told me I was worthless.
Worthless. He had several people in his life, men who would said he was some version of he's worthless and you're good for nothing.
Oh God, it was so infuriating too. And his stepfather, when he talked about how his stepfather took credit for his success, it was like, God. As if that guy couldn't have come across as a bigger shithead.
I know. And how did he restrain himself from attacking him and just the things that his sisters were still stuck there
and how he was helped by Save the Children when he was young and now he has given back to that organization. He's his big benefactor now.
Oh, that was so moving.
It was like a cinematic story, his life story.
I know, starring Christoph Waltz, I would imagine. And the fact that he was almost lost. He was so pushed around by these abusive people, by his boss, by his stepfather, abandoned by his father, that he was at one point in his life, this like buoyant, like uber successful puckish man was at one point on a bridge contemplating killing himself.
I know.
Like, oh my God, what if he had, and how much we would have lost, you know?
I know.
What a lesson. I hope anyone listening to that, who maybe is going through a dark time, God, I hope they took from that.
He really is an inspiration.
Yeah.
I wonder what the thing was that prevented him from doing, you
from
know,
jumping.
There
yeah.
must have been.
I didn't want to poke too much, though he was so forthcoming. I didn't want to, but still, like, yeah, what was that thing?
There was something in him that was saying, "I'm gonna be able to do good things.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be able to contribute."
But you're right. That's where that drive comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm gonna do this, if I'm gonna get off this bridge, go back down and deal with this bastard who's like making me, you know, questioning how I peel potatoes. I'm gonna make it count. And he did. He even said that I'm gonna go back and show my stepfather and by getting a Mercedes.
I was so curious what his guilty pleasure was in terms of eating. And he was like, it's got chocolate, it's 65% to 70% minimum. Yes. But it's like, that's not a guilty pleasure. Yeah. So he has no guilty pleasures.
No, doesn't sound like it.
He just has pleasures.
Yeah. And I felt immediately self-conscious for having asked that, you know, like, do you like Reese's Pieces or... What is yours, by the way?
Not like
I know
that.
Yours. Wait, oh. your go-to snack food is peanut butter M&Ms, right? M&Ms.
No,
right?
that's my snack food. We're going tangent here.
All right,
but if I could have one candy for the rest of my life, it would be peanut M&Ms. I think it's the most versatile, well-rounded single candy that exists. So he doesn't have any guilty pleasures, unfortunately. He just has, the smell of his wife's potato chips.
Oh yeah, try some crazy.
He hates the smell of potato chips. No, it doesn't get him going.
Yeah,
He hates the peanut butter. The smell of peanut butter.
Yeah,
interesting.
That is interesting.
I guess when you're used to such fine cuisine, things that we take for granted as being part of our lives, start to smell weird and fake. And
also, specifically with peanut butter, that may be more of an American thing, or maybe he must not have grown up with that. I mean, think about, we've known peanut butter since we were little. That's just something that we take. It might be a very offensive smell if it's a newer smell to you, and you combine it with, like you said, just.
Yeah, and it was a pleasure to meet him. And
so many.
And what a great person! What a charitable, good person.
I know. Please visit those charities. And he talked about them in a way that was not at all self-aggrandizing. I thought it was so charming that he's
still into improving. He's still in it. He's really still in it.
What an impressive person! I'm so grateful that I got to talk to him and that he made that decision on the bridge that day.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream.
I wonder if Wolfgang Puck ever asked people on Yelp to say, if you like the meal, give a 5-star review. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and every major listening app, as well as Wondery.com. Life is Short is hosted by me, Justin Long. It's produced by Christian Long and Megan Monaco. Senior producer is Michelle Lanz. Executive produced by Marshall Louis and Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
Well, I like having the fellas over.
Irish.
Well, I like...
That's
Well, Irish. It's weird. I like having the fellas over. Yeah. And we love having pizzas at 2 a.m. And so I said, well, I got the pizzas from Wolfgang. I got a bunch of pizzas in the freezer. Well, why don't you tell me this? I will make the pizza in a way where you can freeze it and then bring it out when your friends are over for the poker. Well, Wolf, I'll tell you what you should do. I'll take it a step further. You should sell them in the stores. That'd be weird, wouldn't it? That'd be wild if you sold them in the stores. And for generations, people would know your name. Long after you're dead. Long after you're dead, they know the name Wolfgang Puck. That's weird, wild stuff. And I gave you the idea. But I will say you could give me credit one day on a radio show.
Higher.
On a radio show. I don't know what they'll call it in the future.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and barmates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplished something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders.
Balloonists.
Bobsledders.
And big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.